Hey everybody, this is Patrick from Talking Backwards. During our current hiatus from recording new Talking Backwards episodes, I started a show on Spotify called Carefully Curated, where I interview artists about the music they've made and the music that shaped them. This week, I talked to Annie Hart from Au Revoir Simone, and you might remember them from not one, but two appearances on the Roadhouse stage in Twin Peaks: The Return. Annie has a great solo album coming out this Friday called The Weight of a Wave. I won't play our entire discussion today, but it made sense to cross over some of this interview because we deep dive into what it was like to perform at the Bang Bang Bar, and what it was like working with David Lynch, and so much more. I hope you dig this interview, and if you want to hear more of it, click the link in the description. Annie is on tour this month and has some dates with Fred Armisen and Jimmy Whispers. Check it out if Annie is coming to your town. And without further ado, here's part of my interview with Annie Hart from Au Revoir Simone on Carefully Curated. I'm excited to welcome Annie Hart to the program today.
Hello, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
I just want to say right off, I got your Weight of a Wave vinyl early, and I've been enjoying it for a few days now. And this doesn't always happen, getting a pre-order at least 2 weeks in advance. So I love that. I wish it happened more often. And that's why I always say pre-order direct from artists. You know, you never know. It might happen.
You never know how crowded their basement is.
True. Just want to get you guys when you got them and you're sitting on them, you want to get them out the door. Well, if there's any left and anyone's digging the music today, definitely go get that record, cause it's great. We're going to dive into it. And speaking of kind of all of that, I love seeing all the DIY that you do from the t-shirt printing. And then I saw there's a Rough Trade exclusive with, poster art that you've made. I read each copy of the record comes with a completely unique black print of the title of the album on high quality watercolor paper. And it says you made it on your back porch. How did that idea come about? And what was the experience like making each poster by hand on your back porch?
Yeah, well, I'm really lucky because, the guy who curates the events at Rough Trade is a huge fan. And he actually heard a couple of the songs from this new album live, and he reached out to me just saying he booked me for the Rough Trade Festival last year. They had a festival in Rockefeller Center. Everything is DIY, including the label. So the label this is coming out on, Uninhabitable Mansions, is actually the name of a band that I was in with my friend. He turned that into a record label that was an actual record label, but now we're using it more as a cooperative, mm-hmm. where each person who wants to be involved with it uses the name. So it's more like a unifying force, but you're really doing all the work yourself. So, which is really fun and really exciting, because for Au Revoir Simone, the first three records we put out, we did it all self-release in the United States. So I have actually a lot of experience self-releasing records. Obviously the industry is massively changing, but I've been doing it for 20 years. So, it's definitely something I'm used to, I've been trying to keep track of all these details, and eventually occurred to me to reach out to Rough Trade because they were very nice and very interested in the record. After I had already pressed them, and they were interested in doing, you know, like a special color or whatever, but I said, they suggested a poster because I had already pressed all the records. Mm-hmm. So I decided to volunteer to do a block print, not realizing how much work it is to do a block print. It's really fun. I really love to tie together the various elements of my creative brain. I feel like it gives the music brain a break, or kind of a way for things to expand, and also a lot of like free time for just thinking and mulling over ideas when you're doing repetitive artistic tasks where you're making these small decisions, and learning to trust your instinct. I find that even people without artistic careers can really benefit from doing visual art, any kind of tangible craft, because it really helps you focus in on the present and trusting your instinct and thinking, what do I like about this? How do I want this to be? And kind of just learning to trust your own voice. And I think that that's a really fun and unique process. But That was a process that went on for 3 days in my backyard, and I thought it would never end. But they came out great, and everybody's happy. And they actually had to stop selling them online because they were selling so fast. So they needed some for the store.
I saw that.
So
Yeah, I saw it sold. Like, yeah, it was
great.
sold out on Rough Trade. And I was like, the pre-orders. So yeah, that, you know, but it's one of those things too. And I say this as just a big vinyl fan, and also just enjoying anything that's unique like this and creative. If you're getting any sort of just little bonus, and I'm even just, you know, even nerdy to if it's, you know, how limited they are. It's just, I just like. I think I probably say this also as just a collector, but I just think it's really cool, and especially, and I've never seen probably or read something like that coming with the record, so I think that's really cool.
Cool.
I want to mention you're touring this record this month with some great people. You've got shows with Jimmy Whispers, who I actually just discovered maybe like a few months ago, the song Stray Dogs. I was like, oh, this is great. And then I was like, this is
I'm
fantastic.
crazy about that song. I love
Yeah.
that song so much.
Yeah, it's really great. That was just again, just kind of a random Spotify discovery. I don't even know if it was me clicking around or if it was actually the algorithm, but it, you know, it's one of those that I came across and put it on
Yeah,
a playlist.
I had never heard of him either, but my booking agent suggested him, and as far as she gave me a long list of bands to consider for the West Coast openers, and she gave me this one. And as soon as I saw the video for Ice Cream Truck, I was like,
Yes.
"Who is this weirdo? They are my people. We belong together. I love this person. I love their art." So my friend Ziad Azrar actually produced it, and he's in the band Whitney in Chicago. And he's just
Nice.
one of the most wonderful people in the world. So anything he's involved with, I'm on board with.
Yeah, that's great. Not only Jimmy Whispers, you're doing some shows with Fred Armisen, SNL legend. I saw the poster for this tour that he's doing. It says comedy for musicians, but everyone is welcome. And I just love that. It's like very Fred. But I saw you both did a show together back in June. How far back does your relationship with Fred go?
Let me think. I think it was around 2013 or 2014. He emailed Au Revoir Simone's general inbox and said, "Oh, hey, I really like your music. You guys are a great band." And
Wow.
of course, we really liked everything he was doing. So we wrote back, and this was in the height of Portlandia. So
Course.
we were playing a show in Portland. So we emailed him, "Oh, hey, do you want to come to the show?" And Fred is, he just loves music so much. I don't know if you've followed him, but he
Oh,
just
yeah.
loves like nerding out with musicians. But he was like, "Oh, I'm not going to be at my apartment. I'm coming there on the day of the show, and I'll be at the show, but I'm going to be in LA. Does anybody want to stay at my apartment?"
Love
I was
it.
like, "Yes, please." I
Yes.
was going to be in Portland for like 3 days with nowhere to go. I'm willing to stay in your nice apartment. So he let me stay at his apartment, and I don't know. We've just been friends since. We just really hit it off. And he's been a huge supporter of my solo music. Actually, I wrote my first solo song, "Hard to Be Still," in his apartment during that stay. He
Really?
has a little studio.
Wow.
So I wrote the drum beat, and he's killer bass. So I wrote it there, and that was actually supposed to be an Au Revoir Simone song, but then Au Revoir Simone kind of like fizzled out, and I was like, "Well, I guess we're
Gotta do
gonna
something with it.
put it out."
It's a
Yeah,
great
actually
song.
Heather from Au Revoir Simone said, "You really ought to consider releasing this music, you know it's good, right?" And I was like, "I guess, I don't know, it's just
Yeah.
like too weird without you guys. I can't do this." But she was very encouraging and convincing. So that's kind of how, I guess, the staying with Fred changed everything.
Yeah. When you get encouragement from Fred Armisen, you got to go for it. Well, that's cool. So what's like, because I've not been to a Fred Armisen show. What's like, what is one to expect, you know, on this tour of the dates that you have with Fred?
I think that you're totally in the target audience for this. It's
Perfect.
definitely for music nerds, people who really love, who are familiar with the specificity of certain genres, and will understand his references because it's very specific humor.
Awesome.
But it's hilarious. I find myself guffawing a lot. Sometimes I'm on stage and I just can't keep a straight face.
Yeah.
But the show we did in LA was wonderful. It was really cool. I played a few songs actually with Heather from Au Bois Simone came up and she was my band. And
Cool.
then he did some comedy and then he played a few songs with me and Heather. And then we all did this funny skit together about being in a band.
That
It was really
sounds
fun.
like what I would expect at this, and I want to go so bad. I'm talking with Annie Hart about her new album, Weight of a Wave. I wanted to save this next part of the discussion until kind of the end of this episode. I know not everybody is pr who listening has maybe seen the TV series Twin Peaks, so I'm definitely going to keep this light on the spoilers. I can't imagine we're going to bring up any major plot points, but I wanted to give a warning here just in case if anybody's like maybe thinking about watching the show, plug your ears. But Twin Peaks was a TV series that ran for two seasons in the early 90s on ABC. Showtime revived it in 2017. Some people call it season three, some people call it the return. I'm probably going to refer to it as the return, just if anyone's like, what is Patrick talking about here? But Annie and her bandmates in Au Revoir Simone appeared and performed on the legendary iconic Roadhouse stage, aka the Bang Bang Bar. And also, for anyone who may not know, Twin Peaks was created by David Lynch and Mark Frost. It's a show filled with secrets and not a lot of answers, as they like to keep that mystery alive, and rightfully so. So I'm going to see what answers I can get from Annie today. So can you tell me a little bit about how your relationship with David Lynch was formed? I've read a few interviews, and I'm still very curious how this happened, because it looks like it happened probably about 10 years before, or I know it was filmed maybe a little bit before it actually aired, but can you tell me a little bit about how that relationship formed?
Yeah, when we released Bird of Music, that came out what in 2005 or 2006, we kept being offered to do these events at Barnes and Noble. And I come from a very punk rock, anti-capitalist background. And I would always, and I used to work in independent bookstores, so I was always like, no, screw Barnes and Noble. They're just trying to throw the indie people out of business. We're never doing this. And I was very adamant and maybe a little headstrong in that event. But then they
Sure.
came back and they said, hey, can you do this event with David Lynch? And we were like, our manager was like, Annie, come on. Pull yourself together. So we said, all right, fine, David Lynch will do it.
And this was at a Barnes and Noble?
This is at Barnes and Noble in Union
Okay.
Square.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a madhouse because obviously I had known David Lynch, he's a household name, and I enjoyed his movies, but I was not like a hugely into his back catalog. And I didn't realize what a cult personality he is. That place was mobbed. There were people lined up around the block. I had friends like friends who I, well, more like acquaintances who were in very famous bands who were like calling us manically, can we please come? Can you get us in on the list? I was like, they're calling me? Like, what's going on? So that was my first kind of taste of the David Lynch-osphere, if you want to call it that. And we had a great, he had his book coming out, Catching the Big Fish. So he was doing on a book reading tour. So there was a moderator, and then they would interview David. We would play a song. They'd interview us, kind of like this little back and forth kind of thing, kind of like what I'm doing with Fred on stage, but without the comedy or the moderator. But so at the end of the event, it was absolutely crazy, and they kind of like whisked David out of there. And his kind of like the head person of his entourage came up to us and said, David really loves your band. And I was like, okay, cool. We like David too. Great guy. And he was like, no, David really loves your band. And he was just like, okay, that's wonderful. But not really understanding what that meant. So it ended up that he like got married a year later and he walked down the aisle to a few of our songs. He like really loved our band so
He
much.
loved you.
So
It's like they weren't lying.
we were alive.
He
He came to
loves
see
your
us
band.
play. He had this art exhibit, an opening at I think it was the Fondation Cartier in Paris, and they did this retrospective, and they recreated a theater that he designed, and he chose us to play on the opening night. So then we flew to Paris for that. We did the performance, and then after the performance, we're on the roof of the museum. We're drinking champagne. The Eiffel Tower is lighting up. Julie Cruise comes in and starts telling us like stories of recording with David, and she's so captivating, and we just really enjoyed it. And so we like hung out with him every time we went to LA and stayed in touch. I mean, he's an absolutely wonderful person, just so open-minded and so calm and generous. And hanging out with him, you would never it's hard to reconcile, the depths of the evil nature of humanity that's in his art versus what he presents as in his regular everyday life, which I think is really testament to like his meditation practice and his ability to kind of like tap into all sides of himself. I don't know, he's just an amazing guy, and he went around on the rest of that book tour telling everybody to listen to us, and we were his favorite band, and everybody ought to listen to us, and he would very slowly and carefully pronounce our name. I don't know if you've seen any of the video clips, but they're pretty
Yeah.
funny.
Au revoir, Simone.
But that was definitely the turning point of our career, for sure.
Yeah, if David Lynch becomes a fan, you've got it made. That's just, I mean, I can't even imagine. So, Twin Peaks, were you a fan of Twin Peaks? Did you see Twin Peaks before the return happened?
So I was just a little bit too young to catch it when it came out. I wasn't allowed to watch it. I would like try to like sneak down the stairs and like peek in when my brothers were watching it, but I'm glad my parents didn't let me watch it, honestly. I think that was a strong move on their part.
Probably,
So
yeah.
but after we kind of became friends with David, we went on this binge watching thing and in the van, and this was in the days of the early iPhones. So Heather had an iPhone. I didn't even have one. I think I had like a brick at the time, but it had a tiny little screen, and we had a headphone splitter, and the three of us would be in the back seat just absorbing. We watched all of season one of Twin Peaks, part of season two. We watched Mulholland Drive. We saw, I can't remember. We saw like three or four of his films, and then the whole season on one tour in Europe, just in the back of
Wow.
the van. So we were watching it on a screen.
Which I'm sure he'd
So
love.
tiny, we're clustered together, which is good because it gets really scared. So we could like hold each other and scream and like hold hands.
That's a great visual.
It was pretty cool. So that was my first experience with the first season.
That's really cool. So then, of course, at some point you find out that this revival of Twin Peaks is happening. I don't know what you found out first, that it was happening or that you were going to be in it, or did you even know it
That we
was
were
going to be
in it.
Twin Peaks when you got like a call? Because I know everything was just
Yeah,
very secretive.
we got an email like to the three of us. Do you want to be in the David's reviving Twin Peaks? Do you want to perform? Do you want to be in it? And I was on the subway with a friend of mine, and I started screaming on the subway. And then I told him immediately, "Oh my God, David Lynch is reviving Twin Peaks because he wants us to be on it." And then I read the next paragraph. Under no circumstances are you
Can you
allowed to
tell
tell
anybody?
anybody.
Yep, got to keep
So
reading.
that
It's very
old subway car
important.
knew. Thankfully, I was with a very straight-laced friend who was very trustworthy. So
That's
he
good.
didn't tell anybody.
Don't know about everybody else though on
Yeah.
that
Exactly. Yeah, we flew out there and it was pretty secretive.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to tell anybody why we were in LA. We were like, "Oh, we're visiting friends
Sure. Yeah.
as
Just
a
out here.
group."
Yep, as a whole group, just coming to hang out. I've heard in other artist interviews that all the performances were filmed on the same day.
Over 2 days, yeah.
2 days? Okay. Yeah, I knew. I mean, it seemed like it was probably just a very tight time period. But I think that's one of the coolest things. Like, boy, would I have loved to have been an extra to have seen like all of that.
I know. And can you believe it? We saw the Chromatics, and we saw another band from Chicago, those Sweet Boys, who's kind of sounded like the Everly Brothers.
Oh yeah, the Cactus Blossoms.
The Cactus Blossoms. They were good. But we, you know, we hung around for like 3 or 4 hours. And then we're like, oh, it's time to leave. But we had no idea who else was playing because everything was so secretive. And then I was like, what? Why didn't I stay all day? I miss Trent Reznor? Like, what is wrong with me?
That's
I miss Julie Cruz performing. Like,
yeah. I can't even imagine. That's just like a dream. I wish that, I mean, obviously, we unfortunately lost Julie Cruz, you know, a couple years back. But what I would give for just a festival of these exact bands just on a day, I would, you know, in a Roadhouse replica setting.
Yeah.
I would pay good money, David Lynch, if you're listening. I would pay good money for the Bang Bang Bar Festival. So you and your bandmates in Au Revoir Simone, Erica and Heather, you guys were special because you got to appear in two different episodes. And one I thought was actually pretty cool because it came out of a scene starring Sky Ferreira, that was one of those two where I was like so excited to see Sky Ferreira, and you guys came back and I was like, what? I was like, they're playing again? It is happening again. Basically, I'm assuming that you didn't, that the Sky Ferreira scene was filmed separately, it seemed. That
definitely was, yeah, definitely,
yeah, because I can't remember, some of them where they intertwined some of those scenes, it, you know, they seemed like they might have reacted to like music starting or something, but it clearly, you know, it wasn't happening at the same time. So the two songs that you played were Lark and A Violent Yet Flammable World. Both appeared on your second album, The Bird of Music. I was curious because you had released a lot more music between then and the filming of Twin Peaks. Was the song choices David Lynch decision?
Yes. Definitely. They were his choice. Those were his, he had to film his three favorite songs, but two of them made the cut. Which is funny because, I mean, I feel like some of our later music, if you objectively look at it, seem much more Lynchian in a way, just darker and kind of more minimal. But, you know, when, it's not just him, but like when you hear music, specific time in your life, it connects with you and you can't, there's no explaining it, so I guess those are just the songs that connected with him, that resonated with him pretty deeply.
I get that. And I felt this way about a lot of the song choices, especially watching with captions and seeing like song lyrics, but there was even just lyrics from A Violent Yet Flammable World where it speaks of dreams, and dreams are very prominent in Twin Peaks. And then in Lark, there's a specific line where it says, point you to a better time, a better place to be, which kind of reminds me of some things that happen in the show, pointing to a different time, maybe a better, I don't know. But it, you know, there were definitely just little things in all of the songs, which made me want, you know, because obviously you guys wrote those songs long before you appeared, so there's no way it was, you know, intentional, but that could also have been something, who knows. They were his favorite songs, and maybe it was a happy accident. There was some lyrical connections. To tie some things back to your new record, Weight of a Wave, I noticed you thanked Dean Hurley in the thank you section, who was a big, big role in the sound of Twin Peaks. Did he work any on this record, or just a friend?
He's a friend. I love Dean. He's such a good guy. So talented musically as well. He mastered Nothing Makes Me Happy Anymore. I announced this album, I think in November of last year, and people started pre-ordering it. I basically announced it because I couldn't afford to press the vinyl without pre-orders. Yeah. So I announced it just to kind of get a gauge of how many people would be pre-ordering vinyl. And I should press it. So to do that, I sent everybody Nothing Makes Me Happy Anymore, and I had Dean master it.
That's cool. Did you know Dean before Twin Peaks?
Oh yeah, he's been like David's head assistant for years. We met in Paris, and he came to that festival that I told you that we were playing for David's art opening, and we famously were drinking and woke up him and his wife from their cozy hotel room while they were sleeping.
Wow.
And just from being noisy in the hallway, but Dean, he's so like sardonic, and I don't know, I just really love his energy. He still teases me about that to this day, but he's just he's a wonderful guy, and whenever we would go visit David in LA, Dean would be there and hanging out and kind of helping, showing us the studio and all the cool music instruments and stuff.
That's really cool. Well, Twin Peaks definitely, means a ton to me. It's, some of the best TV art, however, movie, if you want to call a lot of people call the last season a movie, just a never ending movie. It's definitely one of my favorite things I've seen. And the Roadhouse performances, as I've mentioned, were some of my favorite parts. Just as a music fan, and just, I discovered a lot of great music just through the show. Annie, thank you so much. This was so awesome talking to you. I can't wait for everyone to hear your new album, Weight of a Wave. It is out this Friday, August 4th, from when this airs. This
Phew.
Friday, August 4th. You're like, oh my God, is it already August? It's out this Friday, August 4th. If Annie is coming to your town, definitely go see this tour. Do not hesitate. Get that vinyl if you can still get your hands on it. It's a hot item. Where can everyone find you and follow you online?
I think the best place would be Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
Annieheart.bandcamp.com.
Perfect. I'll have a link to that as well, for anyone listening who wants to go check out the record. Thanks again, Annie.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.